Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, I want to take you to the Word of God this morning. And on a day where we're looking at lost, found, and disciples made, Romans chapter 6 is a pretty good place to start. Romans chapter 6, if the verse is up, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. By no means at all. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us, this is Paul writing to the church who were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through a baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Come on, how many people are so encouraged that Jesus didn't just die, but he actually rose again? Come on, any man can die, but only the Son of the living God, only deity can defeat death itself. Amen? We too may live a new life. I love that. For if we have been united with him in death like his, then the good news is this, we will certainly also be reunited with him in a resurrection like his. Isn't that good news? For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free. Come on, amen. That's good news. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. But we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin. This is important. For once and for all. Come on, say once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Can we give God a shout of praise for the word of the living God? So this morning, I really simply want to chat to you in the short amount of time I have before we chat to the guys getting water baptized today. I want to speak to you on this really short thought, you know, freedom through Jesus Christ and what true freedom looks like for every single believer in this place. Paul is writing to the church, and he's not writing to people who don't know Jesus. He's writing to people who do know Jesus. And the temptation sometimes when we look at that verse is like, yeah, it's cool, you know. It speaks about when we got saved, when we came to know Jesus. But it didn't just speak about that. It speaks to us about the daily decision that each one of us have to make in following Jesus. And so Paul breaks it down, and he starts to play off these concepts off each other. He starts to talk about death and life, old and new, being resurrected with Christ, even though we die with Christ. And all these things played off on different levels can be sometimes difficult to understand or difficult to comprehend. But Paul, when you study that verse, when you deep dive it, when you throw yourself into it, you'll notice that he speaks about these different connotations relating to our faith. He speaks about terminology used for what we do on an everyday basis. Like, you know, you live and you die. You make these kind of daily decisions. He speaks about the body. He speaks also about the soul. He says, hey, you've got to understand that you intentionally have to make these decisions because Christ died and was risen again. That now in your soul, your mental capacity, the way you think, you have to then renew your mind. Remember, Paul goes on to say, hey, renew your mind. Make a decision daily to renew your mind. Put your mind on the things above, on the things of Christ. And then he speaks on this weird concept of the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit bringing life. The Spirit bringing life. He says, hey, you've got this new Spirit inside of you right now. If I can invite my drama team up onto the stage, my year 12 drama team, give them a round of applause. This could be your big break, guys. Clem, you had one job to get on stage at the right time. And so, you know, if we could speak about it, Paul says, listen, if I could be real with you for a second, there was a time in your life where the Spirit was dead. Like, it was gone. Thank you. Great work. And intrinsically, when Paul is speaking all throughout his gospel, he says, hey, we're tripartite beings. That means that there's a Spirit that has control over everything as we partner with Christ. But there's also these other two random characters. There's a spirit, there's a soul, and the body. The soul, our mental state, our mental capacity, the way we think, the way we behave. And as you can see, when the Spirit is dead, these guys do whatever they want. Like, they're just, I don't even know what they're doing right now. Please don't mess up my stage. But you know what? Please don't disconnect our power. But these guys are just doing whatever they want. Paul says, hey, when you're doing this, what happens is our body here, it tries to make itself good. So it's like, you know what, how many people love a good fitness regime? Come on, New Year's resolutions, how many people love that? Andy loves that. Andy, just some quick, look at that body, what a fine specimen. And so we think that we can fulfill stuff and when we put things in our body and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But if you dive into the Word of God and you unpack it, it's not that being a good steward of your body is bad, right? It's just that it's incomplete in our life. Now, we also have our soul, our mental state, this fragile being at the moment. And how many people know that there's nothing wrong with self-help? There's nothing wrong with counseling and therapy and all those kind of things. All those things are good and great. But how many people know that's just one part of the story? Are you all right there?
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah, see, they're just doing their own thing. And Paul says, like, the old life you had, this is what it looked like. It's like you fixed one part to think it was good, but what's going on here? And you got a little bit emotional and you thought that, hey, I was doing the right thing. You can't control anything. But then here's what happened. Paul says, the new life is this, when the Spirit, thank you, Spirit, come back to life again. Let me give you a hand. He said, there's an alignment. There's an alignment. See, when Christ came, little wonder, the Word of God tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. Because when the Spirit of the Lord, Paul says, you now have a new Spirit residing inside of you because of Jesus Christ did when He died and rose again. Now the Spirit's in charge. And when the Spirit is in charge, everything else falls into place. So body comes into place. And suddenly what else comes into place is our emotions and our thinking. And yes, I understand that this is a daily battle. It doesn't just happen overnight. But Paul says there is something greater at work now. So when the Spirit is involved, it ties everything together. So you no longer have to be sort of contrite in your own ways of thinking and trying to do things on yourself. And then all of a sudden, you're trying to also please your body and make things go right there. So Paul says, hey, when the Spirit of God is alive in you, everything else comes together. Is this all right? So we understand, not just as believers, but if you're in this place and you don't yet believe, understand that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is life, there is liberty, there is grace, there is things to hold you together. And that's what Paul is trying to hit home on. He's saying, hey, church, wake up. Like, I get it. I get thinking. I get the mental capacity of your life is sometimes overwhelming. I get that it is hard. I get it's hard to be good stewards of your body and to not go into temptation with all these different things. I understand that. But Paul said, there's a greater Spirit at work here. And if you could just get your head around this resurrection life, this resurrected Savior that in His Spirit died so that He could be one with you, so you could have now the Spirit of Christ to tie you all together, you would understand that this life you live is so much easier. Can we give them a massive round of applause? Thank you, Year 12 Drama Team. I'll invite two of the three of you back next time. I'll let you decide which one didn't make the cut. But isn't that the beauty of the gospel? The beauty of the gospel that our Savior, He could have just died and offered us forgiveness. And that would have been absolutely incredible. Just to walk in that forgiveness, to know that you are forgiven from your sins. But the beauty of our Savior is that when He died and rose again, the Spirit of the living God suddenly activated inside and available to each and every one of us. Now we have forgiveness and we have freedom. This is what true freedom looks like. True freedom isn't found in anywhere else outside of the goodness of Jesus Christ. It's not found in anywhere else outside of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And as a believer, it's something that I feel like we need to understand and come to terms with. So that's why Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Like, don't be caught up looking for cheap solutions, cheap alternatives. Don't waste your time being conformed to the patterns. Instead, be what? Be renewed by what? The mind of Jesus Christ. In other words, be renewed by what the Spirit is trying to speak to you about, by what the Spirit of Jesus Christ is trying to minister to you. Is this all right? So Paul also writes this in Colossians 3, 1-2. Eugene Peterson uses this expression, the resurrected life, or the resurrection life. And he says this, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life, act like it. Like, that's pretty, That's harsh words. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorb the things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from, this is awesome, from His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though sometimes invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. Isn't that incredible? He is your life. It says, look up. Don't be caught with the things that don't really matter. He's talking about the spectrum, saying, hey, you can live this resurrected life, but you can live it looking down. You can live it focusing on the things that don't really matter. You can live it fighting the wrong battles. You can live it trying to fight the wrong battles even before they get started. Little wonder that before David was meant to take down Goliath, Eliab, his brother, comes and says, hey, what are you doing here? You're not meant to be here. The wrong battle. Come on. The right battle was what God destined for him to have on that battlefield for so many years, to take down a giant, to set God's people free. And Paul is saying, hey, listen, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep it in tune with His Spirit. Keep living this resurrected life. That's why we celebrate days like today, Water Baptism Sunday. Why? Because we acknowledge that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We acknowledge that people are taking the next step, lost, found, disciples made. They're taking the next public step of faith in their life to say what? You know what, Jesus? I'm all in. I'm all in to see your kingdom come. I'm all in to see your will be done. Jesus, I love you, and I want to take this next step of faith. For every believer in this room, days like today, we celebrate. Why? Because days like today is what it's all about. This is the real battle. The real battle. No wonder the Bible says the real battle, you want to know what it is? It's principalities and powers. It's not what's in front of you, what's going on. It's about seeing lives transformed. Come on. It's about seeing dead things come to life. Come on. It's about seeing people be made whole and be made healed and be made restored. That's what the kingdom of God is about. And here's what it's about, I think, when it comes to true freedom in Jesus Christ. It's about deep wells, not scary boundaries. Deep wells, not scary boundaries. 1960s and the 1970s, there were some American cattle farmers who came to Australia. As they toured around, they were amazed, astonished. They were talking to these Australian farmers, and they were from, obviously, ranches over in the US. Just tall fences, cattle could not escape, but much, much, much smaller. And they were amazed. They were amazed because when they spoke to Aussie farmers, they said, I don't see fences, like acres and acres and acres. Property I cannot see. I don't know where it ends, where it begins. But how do you not lose your cattle, right? Fair question, right? And the Aussie farmers said to them, well, it's never really been about our fences. It's too much material. We don't even have the resource to do it. So we just make sure we're really intentional about where the wells are. Because wherever the wells are, that's where they'll come back to. And wherever the wells are, that's where they know that there is life. Isn't that just a beautiful picture of our relationship with Jesus Christ? When it comes to true freedom in God, now little wonder when Jesus said to the woman at the well, and He said, hey, I've got something for you, and you have been divorced, and your life right now seems like it's in a mess because of the society that you're in right now. And you've moved on from husband to husband, and society right now looks down upon you. But He says, but I'm here to tell you that I'm not here to judge you or condemn you, but I'm after giving you, I'm sitting around this well, offering you real living water. And if you knew just how much life this water would give, you would know that you would never run out, you'd never go thirsty again, you would understand what it is to offer. That's what true freedom in Jesus Christ actually is about. It's about having access to this rich, living well available to us every single day in our life. And I also think true freedom in Christ is about being based humbly in love and in servitude. To be based humbly in love and servitude. Galatians 5:13. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. So do what you want. Hey, you just do you, you know, like you've been called to live in freedom, do your life have a good time, chill out. Doesn't say that, does it? It says, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Paul would write to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians. He says, I'm a slave to no man. Like, I'm free, but I'll become everything to all men. What's he saying? He's painting the picture as he's speaking throughout the gospel, saying, yeah, I'm free. Yeah, I've got the Spirit of Christ living inside of me, but I'm not free to just go to my own devices. I'm not free to live this life myself. I'm free to do the purposes of God. I'm free to walk in the will of God. Come on, I'm free to do the things that He's called me and asked me to do. My freedom isn't just for myself, but for the others and the lives around me. Paul says, your freedom isn't about what you can get, it's about what you can give. You know what true freedom is about? It's about expanding. It's about living a rich and deep well. Romans chapter 5, again, going back to Romans. The Message translation would say it in this way, Romans 5, 9 to 11. If we jump into the middle, it says, if when we were at our worst, we were put on friendly terms with God by the sacrificial death of His Son, now that we're at our best, just think of how our lives will expand and deepen by means of this resurrected life. The responsibility that we get in this resurrected life is to expand. It's to deepen, right? It speaks of influence, speaks of capacity, speaks of breadth, speaks of width, speaks of grace and truth, speaks of loving God and loving others. It's a rich life. It's a big life that God has called us to live. And if God has called us to live this life that is expanding, that is rich, that is about others, then the enemy knows if I can't get to your salvation, I'm going to keep you living a shallow life. Come on. I'm going to keep you living, walking down, like Paul says, not looking up, but walking down day to day. I'm going to keep you trapped. And I'm going to let you read about freedom, and I'm going to let you explore freedom in the gospel, but I'm going to keep you trapped in that prison where you think you've got freedom, but really it's just a massive prison cell. And we don't realize, because we've never actually told ourselves, trained ourselves to look up, to live this expansive life, to say, you know what, yeah, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. To say, yeah, I've got that resurrection life, that power inside of me. And that's what all of us, doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how long you've been a Christian for, how many books you read, how many degrees you are, it is the same playing field in this room. That each one of you have purpose, absolutely. That each one of you have a calling, absolutely. But it's time for God's church, you and I, to live those big, expanding, deep, wide lives that live in this tapestry, this beautiful tapestry of God's grace. Come on, it's a calling for each and every one of us, wherever we are in our life. So important to us. When we unpack what it is to look at living this Spirit-filled life with freedom, to know that you already have all the tools. You already have absolutely everything that you need. God has provided for you. God has given it to you. Now it's time to know that with this life-giving power inside of us, everything else in our life falls into place. And true freedom, friend, I want to tell you, is found in no one else but in Jesus Christ. True freedom, you can search for it in physical resources and places. You can search for it in emotional and mental capacities. That's all fine and great, but let me tell you, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. True freedom is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. And so if that's the case, the enemy would love to keep you tied up. He'd love to keep you in that prison cell of anxiety, that prison cell of depression, that prison cell of physical illness, that prison cell of not being content with where you are, that physical cell that you're in of unforgiveness. God would love to keep you, the enemy would love to keep you there. But for every single person, know this, that you've been given the keys to walk out of that prison cell. That Paul says, you have all the keys. You already, right now, can walk in this new life that Jesus Christ has for you. Is that all right?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.